captured Scrimuta as a hostage
and torn.
To make an appointment for your booster dose against COVID-19, visit quebec.ca/COVID-vaccine to follow the vaccination sequence plan for your area and book your appointment online. To continue protecting yourself against COVID-19 and its variants, get a booster dose and keep following distancing measures, wearing a mask, and washing your hands. The booster dose, the best way to stay protected longer. A message from the Gouvernement du Québec.
Tune in to CKUT 90.3 FM, Tuesdays, 3 p.m. to 5 p.m. for a special Black History Month edition of the Montreal Sessions. The month kicks off on February 1st with the best in reggae and soca with your hosts, Production Sounds and Soca Head. Week 2, February 8th, Wizzy Moonchaser, host of The Morning Detour, broadcast live from DG Kicks, a sneaker store in NDG. Final 2 weeks, 15th and 22nd, are hosted by Stephen Ziplocks Hennessy, educator, creator,
and part of the Ill Groove Garden team. Don't miss it.
CQT 90.3 FM in Montreal. This is CQT's new music magazine show, The New Shit. Today on the program, CQT journalist Ava Lynch interviews UK Vancouver-based artist Movi on Movi's new record, The Florist, out on 604 Records here in Canada. Then we will listen to an archived clip to celebrate the birthday of former dearly departed music coordinator Joni Sadler as she introduces us to Glenn Jones live in the CKUT studio from maybe 5 or 6 years ago. We'll hear new music from El Barbara and the Mighty Blood Incantation. This is The New Shit. Thank you for listening.
Gucci all over your body. I do it first, she look copy me. I count your sheep just to fall asleep. And I never dream just to do it. Turn little haters to cool it. Get on my nerves, you a nuisance, but me and you really been through it. I'm just an animal, I'm just a dinosaur. Never been cool with the cool kids. Give me your round of applause, give me some time alone. I need the calm before I lose it. I need the back before I do it. And I'm really done trying to prove it.
And I'm really done trying to prove it.
I'm love struck and my heart stops on you. You, I just do stuff to get my one track mind off of you. Off of you. It's a crying shame, and I really hate to leave. Lord, I don't picture frames, cause they're empty like I feel. Without you, without you. But I never felt better, must be all this whole weather. Caught me with my tongue out, looking at her bum, never.
KUT 90.3 FM. That was Movi, and stay tuned because coming up next is an interview with the man himself. Hello, how are you?
I'm great, how are you?
I'm good, thanks. Thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you so much for having me. Sorry I'm a couple minutes late.
No worries at all. How's your day going?
Fantastic, yeah. I'm currently in the studio like 7 days a week right now, finishing my album. So it's long days and then long nights. but it's going pretty well. It's evening time over here, so
that's really exciting. Where are you right now?
I'm in my hometown in Southampton, in the UK. So I guess my second hometown. So Vancouver is my first hometown.
That's really fun. So where do you feel more at home?
At this point, it's really like an even split. I've been welcomed so openly, but by the community in Vancouver, and you know, I went to school there when I was 16. So it feels in a lot of ways I've grown up there. Going back every Easter or summer and Christmas to visit like my host family and my friends. So it truly just feels like an equal split of where I feel at home.
That's really lovely. And so for this new project that you're working on, what are you excited to show people after The Florist?
The Florist, it wasn't, I guess it wasn't even really meant to be a mixtape. You know, I had a few songs and then we just decided to put them all out. And I wrote them all together in one space. So it made sense as a eclectic project. So there's quite a lot of different genres and styles. But it was never meant to be like a single body of work, but just worked out that way. But I think what I'm excited to show people is an album, like a body of work, something that is crafted with purpose, and just kind of where I'm at with my songwriting, and just also continue to tell more of my story. I think I'm just really excited to introduce people to me, I think that it's getting to do that over an album is much easier than a song or one show. So it's an opportunity to introduce people to me properly.
Definitely, that's very beautiful. So when you are introducing people to yourself properly, I was wondering, so for you, when you go out and you perform, is there any essence of a persona there, or is it you on stage?
It's like it's 100% me. I created Movi okay, so basically, I'll just tell you, like, I'm really sensitive, so that's why I didn't want to use like my real name in for my artist project. I wanted to create a character, and mainly to kind of deal with the highs just as much as the lows. Like, you know, I think it's healthy accepting the amount of love and adoration that artists receive. And then also, it's not healthy if someone tells you to kill yourself or to, all these drastic things, or, tell you suck or whatever. And so, but because I'm sensitive, I feel like if people like used my real name, then I would feel like they were attacking me or they were loving like me. But realistically, if someone comes up and says, "Oh my gosh, Movi, I love your music," I know they're talking about the character that I create. So at some point, there's a detachment to me, so I can stay more even and then just really execute what I'm trying to do, which is just be focused on distributing love, and that's it. And similarly live, I'm pouring everything that I, like me personally, have but it's the only thing that is a persona is really like the name, how I act, how I present myself. It's really just me. On stage as well, I think you can be the most honest on stage, because it's not like a meeting or a press conference or, where people can. People can cheer or boo, but like largely they're there to watch you share something, and it's a unique opportunity where like you can really just do and be who you want to be for those 30 minutes to an hour or whatever. So it's actually an opportunity to be the most myself. Yeah, and I know that because off stage, I tend to apologize a lot. I mean, I used to a lot, and I don't apologize on stage at all. And so it's I'm just me with no apologies, and that's I feel the most honest in that place. That was a really long answer. I'm sorry.
No, that was great. I mean, it's a rare opportunity, I think, that you can be unapologetic in who you are, because a lot of us do apologize for too much these days, because that's how we're made to feel. How has your life changed since you've begun to perform and make your music?
Yeah, I mean, it's changed quite a bit. I think, I've been working, pretty hard, to to just improve. I didn't grow up as an artist. The Moby project was kind of like birthed, I guess, in like 2019. I put my first song out then. So and then we had a pandemic. So it's crazy to have signed a deal, in the midst of that. And I'm aware of the changes, and I'm just really wanting to just be present. Like I'm really obsessed with like living in the present, and not in the past or in the future. So I'm like aware of the things that are happening, and I'm like really, really grateful, super happy. And I was telling someone today, actually, like, I just want to earn this opportunity that I've got. Like, not everybody gets assigned to a label or have multiple labels, like, you know, offer them opportunities. And so I'm incredibly grateful just for the opportunity to, to have the level of support. And it's not just any label. Like I've with a team and a family that they really respect my artistry and really accommodate what I want to do artistically and creatively, which again, it's mad because nobody knows who I am. So it's nice that they put so much faith and trust in me. So yeah, so things are quite different than before, and mainly just with how people, you know, talk to you, because I'm absolutely no more important than I was before I signed a deal. I think that it's a great opportunity to get to do this. Actually, this is what I do for my life, which is really, it's fun. It's really fun.
Absolutely. And so you're very much centered on spreading love and spreading as much positivity as you can. And I feel like that's a really necessary message in this moment in the world. But if there's one thing that you could get the world to really take to heart, what would it be?
I think honestly, it doesn't even have to be that difficult. Like, realistically, if everybody realized that they were incredibly important, if they realized how important they were, I think that it would cause a ripple in them knowing, man, like, if I'm so important, then this person's important, and if this person's important, then this person's important. And like, if we can, like, that. And for me, that's just like, it's just such a basic thing of there's a lot of ways that humans hurt other humans, and humans hurt the planet that we're living on. But the worst thing that humans do is actually hurt themselves, And that leads to them hurting other humans and things like that. So I just, love people to be able to see the value in themselves and realize how important they are. I think if that one change can happen, I really feel like there's an opportunity for so much positive change in the world. It's such an easy thing to distribute, it's just such an easy thing to share, and just by letting people know that they're important. And I know people, they see it or they hear me say it, and I know that they don't all believe it, but it's nice that like a couple of people do. You read that message, like, whether you believe it or not, like, you see it, and maybe the next time you see it, you'll start taking it in. And maybe the next time you see it, maybe you're going through a really bad day that one day, so you'll see it. And so I think eventually it's keep carrying on working. I might be working on one person that I don't know I'm working on just by, you know, posting something consistently, or, you know, or like playing a festival that they come to every year, whatever it is. But like, it's definitely not like a gimmick or a one-time thing. It's, you know, it's so important. It's really, really important to be able to, I think that is the start of, you know, improving our experience on the planet, is just by treating ourselves a little better.
Absolutely. And even with the ripple effect, I mean, you make a difference for one person, and then they try and share that same kindness that you've showed them. So that's lovely.
Yeah.
Talking about people who do get hurt and do feel, you know, raw and vulnerable in the world. You said that the mixtape that you released earlier this year was, you know, kind of an eclectic bunch of music that wasn't meant to be its own project. But it feels like in watching your videos and your vision and the execution of the visual diary you put out with it, there is a storyline that connects them. So was that intentional in putting the music out, or did that kind of come after?
Yeah, the short film was written prior, and you know, and there's more to follow with that narrative, but I wanted to, I was really obsessed with this, with the idea and all of that, the character, the florist character, who's called Henry in the series. And you know, I think that delivering flowers is like maybe the easiest way to distribute love. Like, it, you're pretty much guaranteed a smile. It's just like, there's nothing, there's a very easy thing. Like, you give someone flowers, they feel love. Like, you know, whatever they're going through, like, unless you attach a message saying, I hate you, like, which is really ridiculous. But it's a very easy way to be able to distribute love. And so the idea that your job is making people smile, it was really kind of intriguing. So, like, you know, everything else was developed around that character. And then when I knew this, it was going to be a mixtape, and when I knew the songs were going to come out, you know, I made some small adaptations, yeah, I was able to really make it work with the songs. And the thing is, like, the songs do, they work. Like I said, like I wrote them in the same set of sessions. So I wrote them all together. So there is a cohesion to them. I just didn't know. I guess I just didn't know that I didn't make a mixtape. I made 12 songs, and then 10 of the songs were released, and then they became this one project. So they definitely, they make sense, because I made them all together in the same mindset. And, you know, but visually, the visual concept actually existed first, and then I attached the songs after.
That's really interesting. So you said you want to, that the narrative isn't finished yet. Is that something that you're continuing to explore right now, or is that just another future project?
No, I'm exploring it right now, and it's super exciting. I'm not sure exactly what I can share or not, but I'm working on a feature film, basically, and you know, I'm wanting to kind of dive deeper into like a couple of the narratives that, you know, basically introduced, like the Flores series was like an introduction to these characters. The character that we explored the most was the clown character, but each character has like an origin story, and you know, their appearance in the Flores is really like a blip in their story. So kind of diving into their stories in like a bit more of a comprehensive way is what I wanted to be able to do. And possibly something that can kind of follow my whole career. But you know, but and not necessarily just with music, being able to, you know, maybe focus solely on, you know, I'm not saying I'm quitting music, but concentrating on directing a film that explores these characters that has nothing to do with, you know, the Moby project, for example, the Moby music project. So, yeah, I'm constantly developing that particular idea. It's part of a novel series that I actually wrote in 2017. I wrote like four novels that year, and so the, you know, a small snippet of that, you know, featured the florist. And then that's kind of where I from that story, I created this little short story. So there's many stories within those four books. So yeah.
That's really amazing. And it's interesting to hear how it's developed over time into so many different projects. Is there any initial inspiration for those novels or for these characters that you've made?
yeah, I guess in ways, you know, I am... these characters are the extremes of my real self. So obviously I'm, you know, the clown character kills somebody. I mean, I didn't kill anybody. You know, so that's an extreme. It's a really demonstrative version. And all that was meant to show was that, like, regrets. So he had done something in his past that he regrets, and that thing still follows him to today. So, and I'm sure most adult human beings have some level of, like, I did this that I didn't want to do, or, you know, like, whatever. So that kind of is that. And in each of the characters, you know, like the custodian character loses his best friend when he was younger, and that's it really happened to me as well. Like, my best friend was killed. And so, you know, each of the characters has a, the origin is really my life, my real life. And then I've just kind of been able to, you know, make it, you know, fit into a story a little bit easier.
Well, I'm sorry for your loss, and I'm glad that these stories get to live on through your different projects. And something that kind of struck me when I was watching your short film and listening to your music was, I was wondering what the impact of color has on your music, because it feels like for these characters, you've really associated them with specific colors and aesthetics. And I was wondering if that's significant, or if that's the way you see your music, or what the story behind that is.
Totally. It's a really, really good question. You know, colors are really... crucial, such an enormous part of the project. My name is a color, you know, and so I, even how, you know, I got the name, is I'm obsessed with, like, purple and all the shades of purple. And I spent like 4 months just trying to, you know, pick a name, like, you know, something that, like, I didn't just pick something that, like, absolutely was me. And so I'm like, man, like, this is going to be impossible. And I should have started with colors, but I ended with colors. And I'm like, okay, well, I went to purple and I was looking through and I saw mauve. And then I was just like, I tried to find another color that you could not, like, you absolutely couldn't define. So, like, you know, mauve is like a little bit pink, a little bit purple, a little bit blue, a little bit gray, a little bit silver. Like, it's a little of so many things. And when you really listen to my music, like, it's a little bit pop, it's a little bit R&B, it's a little bit hip hop, it's a little bit like alternative. Like, it truly is all those things. It's, I think, I'm not saying like I'm like unique, but I definitely cannot be put into a single box musically. I think that's a fact. So then when I saw that, I was like, man, my music is a little bit movie. Like, that's kind of the the sentence I said, and then I was like, man, Moby's really cool, and then I picked the name. And so it's the that kind of I really try to identify things with colors, and give the characters that I create strong identities with colors. But for Moby specifically, you know, really trying to connect with all shades of purple has been a real pleasure to push myself, you know, to, you know, working with different fabrics, working with different colors and shapes, you know, with my live show, and to try to like unofficially like own like every shade of purple. So we've had this thing now where I said, like, I want, you know, when anyone sees anything purple at all, they think about me, whether they love me or hate me. So that's like my 5-year goal. Like, you know, and it's people, when they people see like a mauve sunset, they send it to me and like hashtag Moby. Like, you know, when they see like a shirt at H&M, they'll send it to me. Like, in this is really micro right now, but the goal is like, you know, I can't control the color purple, but it's so nice that it would be nice if people saw that, thought of Moby, and they thought, man, I'm important. Like, that's like the little things that I want to, that's what I want to be able to do. So without me even having to say anything, like, people can just know from seeing a color that they're important. And that's like the goal.
Yeah, that's a really exciting correlation, and that's a very cool way to view like the progression over the next couple years. I think we're almost out of time, but I just have one last question, which is, who are your biggest musical influences?
Sonically, like this is probably like a bad answer, like PR wise, but like honestly, nobody. For the overall like artistry, like I really, you know, like it's like Michael Jackson. Been able to like be like the first main like music video person and an absolute like institution live. So like Michael Jackson, Prince, David Bowie, you know, people who really were able to reinvent themselves, like Madonna, have been able to reinvent themselves and be able to dominate just with, you know, like on stage, you know, their presence was larger than life. So yeah, I like those people, and you know that, and it's, I'm very obsessed, especially right now, but just in general, and creating a sound that people actually are like, man, like that's Moby. So it's really difficult for me to actually listen to music. And that sounds, and that makes me sound like so weird, but I have, like, I love music, so I know that it would influence me too much. Like, it would actually influence me to listen to my favorite artists. And I don't want my music to sound like them. And so, like, it's like, I'm like, okay, I need to, for this time frame where I'm, like, really focused on creating a sound that, like, other people will hopefully be influenced by, that's one thing that I can't do is invest too much time in other people's work, because I know myself, and I know that it will leak into my work, and maybe that's a good thing, but I want to be able to kind of carve my own path. But yeah, I mean, there's artists that I love, you know, what they're doing artistically live, and people like The Weeknd. I really enjoy from the beginning of his career, how, you know, again, being able to like reinvent the sound, the visual, and the live performance. So yeah, just that's basically it.
Great. Well, yeah, it's exciting to hear your original sound that you've clearly been working on, and it's been so lovely to chat with you, and thank you so much for your time. I look forward to hearing the new album and seeing the short film. And yeah, thank you for
taking. Yeah, thank you so much. I apologize for my absolutely ridiculously long answers.
No apology needed, but yeah, thank you for bringing us into your world a little bit.
Yeah, thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate it. Have a wonderful rest of your day.
Thank you so much. You too.
Bye.
Bye. That was singer Movi. Check out his album, The Florist, on any streaming services near you.
Bought me dizzy roly-poly over you. Bought you flowers, but the pollen say hachu. Chasing summertime when winter's after you. You were mine until I made your dreams come true. You are mine. Face to face, you face to face, you said goodbye. 4+5 clouds in the sky, I'm on the 9. You were mine until you said you needed time. I get spiritual when Bombay in my bloodstream. It's a miracle that anybody loved me. No hard feelings in this 35 degree heat. Love and hate and turn that girl into a split screen. You are mine. Face to face, to face to face, you said goodbye. For us, my clouds in the sky, I'm on the nine. Night pissing to me ra, moon and back then the sun come out. Lied to me, girl, he hurt my heart. Made a scene so they notice ya. Billie Jean, now it's me and you. No one know what we both go through. Elevate so we both go up. When I leave, what you gonna do? Cry yourself to sleep, honey. Cry yourself to sleep. Oh. Cry yourself to sleep, honey. Cry yourself to sleep. Oh, you are mine. Face to face, to face, you said goodbye. 4+5 clouds in the sky, I'm on the 9. You were mine until you said you needed time. Said you needed time.
Okay, you ready?
Are you there?
Yeah, I'm there.
You are, of course, listening to CKUT 90.3 on the FM dial.
It's something that you really have got to check into.
In the case of symptoms similar to those of COVID-19, such as fever, cough, sore throat, loss of taste, or smell, you should take a rapid home screening test. If you test positive, isolate yourself at home and please follow the self-isolation instructions. If you don't have a rapid home screening test, please self-isolate for the recommended period. Visit quebec.ca/self-isolating for complete instructions on how to protect yourself and others. A message from the Gouvernement du Québec.
CKUT 90.3 FM, Montreal.
3:55, and we're joined in the studio right now with Boston-based recording artist Glenn Jones. Thanks so much again for being here.
My pleasure, really.
And we just heard a song from his most recent album, which is entitled My Garden State. The song is called Across the Tappan Zee, and you're ready to play one last track for us.
Yeah, I'd like to end with a banjo number. It's kind of a liability of being alive, that you, the older you get, the more you think about the past, because it's kind of what you have a lot of, you know. And I think that sort of reflecting back is a part of what many of my pieces are about. But I also wanted to include something on the new record that was looking ahead. And I mentioned Miriam Gendron and Benoit Chapu, both of who are, I guess, familiar to your listeners here. Mm-hmm. And about 18 months or so ago, they had a little daughter named Cleo. And I wrote this piece for her. And there are two versions of it. There's a version that's played straight on the banjo called Cleo Awake. And then there's a version called Cleo Asleep that's played on the banjo with a mute on it to make it sound like a little, kind of like a distorted music box. And I played this song first for Miriam and Benoit in Cambridge. Miriam and I shared a show there. And of course, I made Miriam cry, which is a great thing to do, you know.
That's the goal, right?
But the funny thing was, after they heard the song, Benoit said, "It's just like her." So I don't know about that. Having spent time with Cleo, but only with Cleo awake, it's hard to say. But anyway, I'm going to finish with this. This is called Cleo Asleep, and this is with the banjo mute. You might have to turn the mics up some because it's very soft. But anyway, Cleo Asleep. And this is these Cleo Awake, Cleo Asleep are also on the new record Fleeting coming in March. So.
Hall of Fame.
Thank you. everybody's gay.
Everybody is gay.
Canada's National Greening Program is planting seedlings across 5 regions of the country: BC, the Prairies, Ontario, Quebec, and the Atlantic. They plant in areas that are in need of reforestation or afforestation across Canada. Tree Canada selects sites where appropriate native species will be planted to make sure that natural forests come back to life. To learn more or to get involved, go to treecanada.ca.
Are you a tenant in Montreal? Do you have questions about your rights? Your local housing committee can help. To find the housing committee for your neighborhood or for more resources, go to www.rclalq.qc.ca.
Where's the beat?